Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
All right, guys, we want to jump into the Word. We just came out of our Summer of Love series. Anybody been blessed? How was it last week? We had our final two guests come. Relationship voices through social media. Adara Butler, Keyshawn Scott, and so I contacted them. They had a day, enjoyed themselves. They said they had a great time here at H4G, and I'm looking forward to bringing them back personally, just because when we do our relationship stuff, they have a lot to share on that, to partner up with the one in what our Lady Shanique is doing. Okay. I got 21 minutes, so I don't know if I'm going to really do justice to my intro, so I just kind of flow a little bit differently today. Amen. I want us to turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And like I said, we're getting ready. Now, September is a big month. For one, this is our anniversary month. H4G is about to turn 5. September 23rd, amen. So mark your calendars, as a matter of fact, do it right now. Mark your calendars, September 23rd and 24th, we are going to be celebrating all weekend. September 23rd, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a party, all right? A real party. It's not going to be here, it's going to be at another location. All that stuff is going to be set up, but it's going to be in the daytime, so it's going to be like 3 o'clock, all right? So we're going to have a real cool party. Our team has been working on making it fun, and we want even the kids to be there, so it's going to be fun for the entire family, and I have a lot of stuff going on. That's going to be September 23rd. Details will be released by this week as well. If you get the email list, you're going to get all the details. But it's going to be September 23rd, Saturday afternoon. We're going to have a party to celebrate our high five. Amen. And then on Sunday, we have our service that's going to be here. Not at 3 o'clock, but at 5 o'clock, because we have our churches that are going to be visiting, our friends of the ministry, our partners, they're going to be here for us. And we're going to have a great time, all right? So make sure you mark your calendars, September 23rd 20th, and 24th, for our 5-year birthday party celebration, anniversary. Amen? Alrighty. So September is huge. We're also beginning a new series called No Perfect People Allowed. Now, the reason why we're calling it this, for two reasons. Number one, this is a message that's going to be, they like that, right? Me too. No perfect people allowed. Okay? Now, we're talking about the church. And unfortunately, there are people right now who don't come to church because they feel they're not perfect enough. And they feel like, well, when I get good enough or right enough, then I'll come. But the whole scope of it is this. The message of Christ is that you don't have to be perfect to come. As a matter of fact, God is the only one who is perfect. And do you know for a church to be perfect, for you to find the perfect church, it means that you can't be in it. Because the minute I step into a church, if it was perfect, when I got there, it's not perfect anymore. Because my imperfections are not coming with me. And you know what? The good thing about this message of grace and understanding is the perfect church will not have perfect people in it. See, even heaven is not allowing people to enter in based on their perfection. Right? That we don't go to heaven because we are perfect. We go to heaven because we're forgiven. So heaven is full of forgiven people, not perfect people. And everyone that God has used from the beginning of time has been people who are imperfect. And so we have to break the myth of perfection off of us when it comes to dealing with God. Perfection is a myth. You know, Does perfection exist? We will say things like, you know, this is the perfect dress. We'll go to the store, ladies, and you find a dress, and you're like, you know, this is the perfect dress for me. Or this is the perfect pair of shoes. Or this is the perfect slice of pizza. Right? Why do we say things like that? Because we say perfection doesn't exist, but then we still look for it. We're looking for the one that's perfect for us. The perfect man, the perfect woman, right? But then we just said perfection doesn't exist. Why? Because there is a craving in our hearts for perfection. There's a longing in our hearts for perfection. The thing is, perfection does exist, but it's not going to be found in the places we're looking for it. And as a matter of fact, what we understand is that, you ever heard the statement, beauty lies in the eye of the beholder? You know, it's the same thing with perfection, right? Perfection lies in the eye of the beholder. Because the perfect dress for you may not be the perfect dress for your sister or for your best friend. But what are you looking for it to be perfect? You're looking at the color, the way it matches your eyes, or the way your hair hangs down on it, the way your hips fit it, right? We say things like we're looking for that perfect thing, but it's perfect to you. Why? Because perfection lies in our perception. And I want you to write that down. Perfection lies in our perception. We look for the perfect church. What are we looking for? A church that meets our needs? A church that doesn't meet the, you know, we have certain guidelines we want. We want to find the perfect church, the perfect pastor. But perfection lies in our perception. I wrote this down. I want you guys to just flow with me for a little while. Perception is not what we see, but how we see things. So we know what perception is, right? Perception, not perfection. Perception is how we see something. Like, we don't see things the same way. We don't see reality. We see our perceived reality. We see things the way we see it. So, for example, I want you guys to look around this room right now. Now, is this room half empty or half full? Somebody said a trick question. We look at that number of chairs. Is this room half full or half empty? Somebody said half. See, when we talk about perception, we're talking about how we see things, not what is. Because every time we see something, we're putting in it our interpretation of what it is. So now, that means perception is not what I'm seeing from my eyes. It means that I'm seeing from another place. I'm seeing from my own expectations. I'm seeing from my own determinations, right? I'm seeing from my own biases. So, when we understand perception, it's a tricky thing. It's how what we use to make decisions, right? We don't really make decisions based on a reality. We make decisions based on how we perceive it. So the Bible says, blessed, for example, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure where? In heart. Matthew chapter 5, right? I believe verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Which means that we don't see God from the eyes on our face. We see God based on the eyes in our hearts. So how I perceive a thing determines how I can receive a thing. The Bible says Jesus went home to his hometown after he began his ministry. Many of us know this story. The Bible says Jesus went to his home country, and when he came to his home, his own received him not. And the reason why they could not receive him was because how they perceived him. They saw him, and they began to say, well, is this not Mary's son, Joseph's boy, the carpenter? And don't we know his brothers and his sisters? We've seen him grow up. How can he come back and claim to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior? And the Bible says that because of how they saw him, he could work no miracles there. Jesus can work no miracles in their life because of their perception. So what if God is trying to bring things into our lives that we can't receive because of our perceptions? One of the biggest problems in your life right now is unchecked perception. Unchecked perception. Because the way that the enemy deceives us is that he can get you to see something and you think it's good for you until it disappoints you. But the reason why we get mad is because we thought we saw something else. So you get into the wrong relationships. Why? Because what you were gauging to be perfect for you was a misinterpreted perception for you. The pure in heart shall see God. You know what it means to have a pure heart? It means to have no biases, no pretense, right? No hidden agendas. That you're not trying to control, make a thing look like the way you want it to look, but you see it as it is. So we can see, again, I'm putting in relationships. We can look at somebody and we see some things that we know might be red flags, but we want to see past it because we want it to be something else. Perception is tricky. That's why usually when you experience heartache, it's like, you know what? When you're honest, you get to that place where you're broken, it's like, I've seen this before. I saw this coming, but I ignored it. You didn't listen to the signs, right? Because we were reading past the reality of a thing to perceive what we wanted to see. Come on. So that's why perfection is a myth. Because I'm basing what I deem to be perfect based on what my expectations of perfection to be. And that might be different for each and every one of us. Amen? I'm going somewhere. So watch this. With perception comes expectations. With perception comes expectations. Your expectations are based on your perceptions. Bad friendships, bad business partners, bad lovers. All this comes into our lives based on wrong perceptions. We expected something that was different than what they portrayed or presented. Okay? People had all types of stuff to say about Joel Osteen, for example. That he felt like his church should have been opened faster. And he should have done this. He should have did that. But all that is based on our perception. And we believe that if Lakewood Church is just this big church, they got all these resources, that they should be able to do more, as if we were blinded at the fact that they were in Houston too. The same storm and the same floods. You know? But we believe that because their church is such a big church, they just have all these resources available for them. And we began to criticize or ostracize Joel Osteen and his church. They're supposed to be the perfect church. And they should have everything right. But let me tell you something. There is no perfect church. There's no perfect you. There's no perfect me. There's no perfect family. So that can't be the way we connect to one another. We cannot say we're going to walk together because we're going to be perfect for each other. Or what if we redefine what perfection is altogether? Don't go to Colossians yet. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I only got a few minutes left. This is all intro stuff. Hebrews chapter 10. So now, perfection is based on our perception. You guys got that? Perfection is based on our personal definition of what's right for us. What's right for me is what's perfect. You can never perfect being perfect enough for people, because we all determine what's right for us based on our own opinions. So now let's graduate from that perspective and begin to realize what God has to say about this. Look what the Bible says, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. The Bible says this: "For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever." Everybody say perfected forever. Those who are being sanctified. So you mean to tell me we're all perfect? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we all, like sheep, have gone astray from our original identity, from our original purpose, from our original calling. And then we understand that Jesus Christ came to save us and redeem us. Now, what the Bible actually says happened when Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our imperfections, and in exchange for our imperfections, he gave us his perfection. So we understand that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, right? He was the perfect Lamb. He never sinned. And then in his sinlessness, he goes to the cross, and the Bible says that he became sin for us. Why? Because he was taking upon himself all of our imperfections, all of our sins, and he received the punishment for that, which means that I don't have the right to punish anyone for not being perfect. See, the reason why we hold grudges and we blame people and we judge people and we have critical attitudes towards people is because we are blaming people for not being perfect enough for us. Come on. The reason why people walk out of churches and leave churches because they have church hurt was because the one thing, the people that we expected to be better than everybody else in the world, they hurt us. And one thing you want to know about pleasure and pain is that one of the great oxymorons of life is that that which can give you the greatest pleasure can also cause the greatest pain. That which can give you the greatest pleasure will also give you the greatest pain. It can, I should say. That's why relationships hurt. It's work, and marriage is work. People will be married and we're in love today. And as my wife always says, it was good a week ago. And after that, the same person that she loved, the person that gave you the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest pleasure, it's like you can't even stand to see them anymore. Right? The pain. Why? Because that which can give you the greatest pleasure can also give you the greatest pain. But what happens is, because of the pain that we might experience, we usually come back into the next relationship carrying all the hurt and all the bitter memories and all the things that hurt us the last time. And we bring that pain into the next one. And then now, our perceptions are now misconstrued, because we're perceiving people or seeing people not as they are, but based on our pain room. Then we come into churches. We got hurt in the last church, and we come to a new church, and then we think about all the people that gossiped about us and the rumors that were spread, right? Come on. See, we're a church in 2017. So 2017 church means that there's a lot of people who've come here, who's been in different churches over the years, or grown up in churches over the years, who are now in a new place with their own memories still lingering. And they're perceiving me based on their last pastor. They're perceiving my wife based on their last first lady. And they're perceiving the people next to them based on that. You say, this time, this Hungry for God is not the perfect church. So we're not perfect. I hope you know that by now. And guess what? We don't want perfect people here. You know why? Because we want people to see who they are in Christ. And when we see who we are in Christ, by one offering, Christ has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Christ has ended for each and every one of us the pursuit of perfection. You know what the source of rejection is? Feeling like you're not perfect enough. Do you know that if you believe this verse, you can never feel rejected again? You know why? Because if God says that he perfected you forever, then that means in God's sight, you're perfect. And if I'm perfect for God, I don't gotta be perfect for you. That's why the Bible says he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The word sanctified then means to be made holy or set apart. It means to be made available. So what happens is when we find something that's perfect for us, we want it all for ourselves. So that's what God says. Those whom he's perfected, he sanctified for himself. He says, now, because I perfected you, I want you to be available for me. I want you to be, you're perfect for me, so I want you to be holy. I want you to be available for me, because now you don't have to look for people to accept you. You don't have to look or deal with people's measurements of perfection from their perception, because now perfection has ended in Christ. Why? Because he's perfected us once and for all. One sacrifice, one offering means that we all have been made perfect in the sight of God. Come on, you are perfect enough for God. And if you're perfect enough for him, you don't have to try to be perfect for anyone else. Hallelujah. So rejection is broken. Come on. If people reject you, so what? I'm perfect to God. He's accepted me, so I don't need your acceptance. Woo! You will never feel rejected again after you see this. Man's selection of you doesn't change your perfection. You may not be perfect enough for anyone, but you're perfect enough for God. So watch this as we close. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to get back here next week. Again, this is all intro stuff. So we learned that perfection is perception. And that perception is how we see things, not as they are, but as we see it to be. Perception is tricky because it's based on our own predeterminants and judgments and all the biases and all the issues that we've ever been through in life. We see things the way we see things. But then we also realize that if perfection is based on perception, then that means God's perception of us is that we have been perfected. And if we're perfected in his sight, then that means God says that we are perfect. Humans are not perfect based on what they do, but are perfect based on what he did. Look at what the Bible says about you, Colossians 3:12, and I'm done. Therefore, as the elect of God, talking about the church, therefore, as the elect, the chosen of God, holy and beloved. Are we there yet? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I'm reading the New King James Version. Therefore, as the elect of God, the church, holy and beloved, put on. Everybody say put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The Bible tells us perfection is. Above all things, put on what? Which is the bond of perfection. So you want to know what makes a church perfect? That's what Paul just described. When we put on tender mercies, when we put on kindness, when we put on forgiveness, when we put on long-suffering, when we carry each other's burdens, that's what makes us perfect. So the perfect church is not about having perfect people. It's about us putting on love, which is what God calls perfection. So, I want you to write this down. Church is not about being perfect. It's about being real. I don't have to be perfect to come to church. That's the good news. As a people who understand that perfection is a myth, you don't have to pretend that you are it. Be you. Be your authentic self. Not trying to prove anything. Not striving, right? You don't have to strive for perfection in God. Neither do you have to strive for perfection in the church. Self-conscious. You don't got to be self-conscious about anything. You can be confident. You can be relaxed. And you can be assured that if we are a church that believes who we are in Christ and that our striving for perfection has ended in Jesus, that all we need to do is now move away from that myth and we just simply need to relax and rest in the love that God has for each and every one of us. Church is not about being perfect, family. Number two, church is not about showing off, it's about showing up. Church is not about showing off, it's about showing up. Come on. See, because we strive to be perfection and we want to present a certain image of us, people come to church when they feel like they get a chance to show their stuff. So for years, people have come to church only when they feel like they got the right clothes. I want to dress a certain way. I want to present myself a certain way because we want to look perfect and allow people to see a side of us that we don't even have under control outside of church. So I always say, we don't want to dress up here. I don't want us to dress up. Why? Because I want you to be you. If you feel comfortable wearing a three-piece suit, wear it. Be you, though. But it's not about showing up. Listen, I know people who stopped coming to church because they felt they weren't living up to some standard of perfection. Who said, I felt like I seen everybody else growing, and I wasn't growing. And I'm just in the same place, and so I just felt like, maybe this church isn't for me. And I said, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. And if we make, and I don't want anybody to feel that. Like, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're all going from, the Bible says we're going from glory to glory. Amen. There's still things I haven't mastered yet. There's still things I haven't learned in God. There's so much more that we all have to mature in and grow up in. Amen. But guess what? If you stop coming and you stop showing up, you now begin to exclude yourself from what God has already included you in. The real test of faith is showing up when you don't feel perfect. When you weren't so good last week, when you let out a few F-bombs that you, one too many. It could have been this morning when you were getting ready. The real test of faith is understanding Hebrews 10:14, where he said he's perfected forever, those who he sanctified. So it's not faith for me to say, I'm going to stay home because I feel like I'm a hypocrite if I come to church, though. That's when you come. The real hypocrite doesn't come to church. The real hypocrite says, I got to be right enough to come to church. No, you're never going to be right enough. So the day you do come based on that standard, then I know you're lying. It's humility to come and say, Lord, Take me as I am. You know I don't got it, but you do. And he perfects us in his presence. So you don't stop coming to church. You keep showing up. The Bible says, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Come on. When we show up, you know what it does? It encourages us. When you show up, and you come to church, and I see you there, I'm like, yes, I'm not in this all by myself. Do you realize that? I don't know if that's what it does. That's what it does to me. When I see you sitting in these seats, it reminds me I'm not the only one that's hungry for God, that wants to live for God, that wants to please Him. And I know that I'm not perfect, but I got a group of people around me who also know that too. And yet we're still believing that He calls us His sons. He calls us His daughters. He sees us perfect and He loves us. Come on. And we motivate each other to do it. So don't stay home. Keep showing up. Especially when you don't feel like it. Two more points and I'm done. Church is not about finding reasons to judge people. It's about finding reasons to love people. People judge because they want an excuse not to love. So we love to find faults in people to say, well, this is the reason why I can't stand her. No. The Bible says we need to find reasons to love people. Love covers a multitude of sins. We're not supposed to be pointing out people's faults. We're not supposed to be seeing how wrong people are. We're supposed to be helping people see how right they are because of Jesus. He perfected you. We need to be reminded of that, don't we? That's what we're here to do. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Amen. So I'm going to end right there. How do we become the perfect church when no perfect people are allowed into our church? That's when we become the perfect church. Because there are no perfect people allowed in God's church, there's no room for critical spirits. There's no room for fault finding. There's no room for animosity and grudges. We let that stuff all go. It's checked outside the door. Amen. When we can love people despite of their faults, believe in people despite of their mistakes, and honor people for who they are without tripping over who they're not. We become the perfect church when we see each other's righteousness instead of our sinfulness. When we look for the best in everyone instead of the worst. We become the perfect church by valuing, respecting, and treating people with dignity because of despite of their inconsistencies. And we become the perfect church when we learn to celebrate and believe in our perfection from God, that it's a gift. That perfection is a gift from God. It's not anything we work for. It's not anything we earn. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, the message of grace, the message of God's love for us, it's impossible for you to sit under hearing this stuff and not be changed. Impossible. That's why you got to keep showing up and devoting yourself to these teachings. Amen. So this is just my intro. Next week we're gonna get into the series. No perfect people allowed. Amen. Come on, if you know some imperfect people, tell them to come to church next week. If you know anybody that needs some perfecting, tell them to come to church this whole month. Amen. All right, let's all stand. I want you to hold hands with that person next to you. Before we do that, let's just give Jesus a round of applause for His grace over our lives. See, the way you grow up in this stuff is by acknowledging it. Say, I say yes to my perfection in Christ. Yeah, you can see, y'all know what I was going to say. But I heard the volume go down when you said that. So let's say it again. Say, I say yes to my perfection in Christ. And you're not perfect by what you do. You're perfect because of what He did. Come on. So one more time, say, I say yes to my perfection in Christ. You say, Pastor, but I still got all these issues in me. I still got these problems that I'm faced with. Yeah, I know. But you know how you grow in your perfection in Him? The Bible says you are sanctified. You've been set apart. And so you only can grow up in your identity by first accepting who you are and allowing God to make you who you are. You're not trying to be this. You are this. You just have to see it. And remember, you're not going to be perfect for anyone. You're perfect for God. And He is perfect for you. Come on, God is perfect. And when you know He's perfect, His ways are perfect. His instructions are perfect. His warnings are perfect. Come on, I guarantee you, you start looking at God as your perfect source and your perfect help, and everything about Him is perfect, you will not make any decision on your own again. And I'll say, well, God, you know better than me. I may not agree with you right now because my perception is off. But one thing I know about you is that your perfection is always on. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you now that your perfect love is casting out all fear and that you are causing the bond of perfection to wrap us up, to seal us, to glue us closer to you. And that, Lord God, as we get closer to you, we'll also understand that we can draw close to one another, because perfection is not what's causing us to connect to each other. It's our love. It's the mercy. It's the grace. It's the kindness we show to each other. And Father, I pray, God, that as we step into this new season and in this new series, that we're going to see a fundamental shift in the way we see ourselves and the way we see you and the way we see others. I pray now, God, that your peace that passes all understanding will begin to guard our hearts and minds. And Father God, we're going to learn how to trust you even more. We're going to learn how to give up our ways and trust your ways even more, because you alone are perfect, Father. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in everything you have to say. And Father, if we follow you, our lives will begin to become perfect. So we surrender to you today. We're willing to walk with you as we journey closer to you today. Thank you for your grace. We give you praise, glory, and honor now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's celebrate one more time. Amen.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.